Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hey, hope everybody's having a lovely day. It's Jill with Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. How is everybody in Caregiver Nation? I have a great guest today, Nadine Cornish. Hi, Nadine.
Hi, Jill. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm glad you're here. I invested a couple of hours of my time reading a wonderful book you wrote.
Tears in My Gumbo.
Tears in My Gumbo.
The Caregiver's Recipe for Resilience.
I love it. And when I first met you, I thought it was a cookbook. I'm sorry.
You're in good company. You're in great company. Yes.
But I have to tell you, the way that you wrote the book and you intertwined the recipe cards and things like that throughout the book, which we're going to talk in depth about, was really fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
I loved it. So first of all, tell my listeners, Caregiver Nation are my listeners, and I my friends with diagnosis. Tell them a little bit about yourself, Nadine.
Okay, so Caregiver Nation, how apropos. So I spent 15 years in Caregiver Nation as a caregiver to my mom, both long distance and ultimately 24/7.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So why did you write Tears in My Gumbo? What was that all about?
Well, after a 15-year journey, and I thought I would hang up my hat in reference to caregiving and move on to greener pastures, so I thought, I really realized that there was a calling on my life around supporting family caregivers.
Right.
And helping them through the journey. Jill, I was really fortunate. I had a background in public health. And mm-hmm. so when my mother was diagnosed with a pituitary brain tumor, mm-hmm. I had to roll up my sleeves and I had to learn a lot, you know?
Yeah, you did.
And over the 15-year journey, there was so much that I had to learn, but I realized I was so fortunate because I had a background in public health. Mm-hmm. And with that background, I was able to navigate and identify resources and do a lot of things with the ease that many caregivers don't have because they don't know anything about this whole new world that they find themselves immersed in.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. And so,
Let's talk about the premise of the book, mm-hmm. the 5 steps of conscious caregiving.
Yes.
I really love that.
Thank you. Thank
you. So tell us what they are.
So the 5 steps of conscious caregiving came about as a part of my own personal journey, but also as I began working with other family caregivers. Mm-hmm. I realized that there was this commonality no matter who I was dealing with or no matter where they were in their process. So the first stage step that most people will recognize is helplessness.
Right.
Yes. And after helplessness comes the recognition that you don't know and that you don't know what you don't know. Okay.
I love it.
And so once you move past recognition, you move into the next step that I call process.
Okay.
And you're there a long time processing, working through,
right.
figuring it out, coming to grips with the fact that this may be a very long journey or it may be a short, very difficult journey.
Right.
And that your life is immensely impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, you come to grips with the fact that self-care is the most important care.
Absolutely.
As difficult as that is.
Absolutely.
In the process of caring for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then process, you find yourself finally at that step of acceptance.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's really funny because these are not linear steps. They're cyclical because
right.
you can be on one step and think you move forward and you're right back at helplessness.
Right.
And then after acceptance, the final step is surrender.
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 Accept it. Move on. Live your life. Put all your pieces together. You know what you're doing now.
Exactly.
You're going to, at least you hope you know what you're doing
now. You
do,
but
right?
you might wake up tomorrow and find yourself all the way at the beginning again.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. So it's very fluid. So you intertwined those 5 steps by talking about, through the chapters, your clients.
Yes.
And how the 5 steps of conscious caregiving affected how you worked with them and how they worked with the disease, mm-hmm. using those 5 pieces, right?
Right.
So talk about that a little bit. Let's just do an overview of the chapters real quick, the people you talked about.
Okay, so I've been blessed to serve so many families over the last 9 years, and each chapter is very different. It mm-hmm. talks about a different aspect of the caregiving journey and what that family experienced and the challenges that they were ultimately able to overcome. Mm-hmm. And at some points during the process, depending upon when I met them, they may have, and a lot of people are in that state of helplessness.
Right.
And we talk about that that's a norm, right? Mm-hmm. And when you understand where you are and that you're not going to be there forever, it's not going to be this way forever,
right,
it really gives motivation and inspiration to people who really feel extremely helpless.
Well, that's exactly right. And in each chapter, you added these gumbo recipe cards. Explain to Caregiver Nation what those are about.
So first and foremost, if I'm going to write about gumbo, you got to know that I am from New Orleans, born and raised. And so I know the real deal gumbo.
Yeah, you do.
Right?
That's right.
And I grew up with gumbo. And gumbo is an analogy for me to the caregiving journey, right? It's a very complex, amazing dish, but there are so many facets to the process.
Right.
And there are so many different types of gumbo.
Right.
But we're talking about authentic Louisiana gumbo.
Right.
Okay, seafood gumbo. And as I was writing the book, I remembered, and I couldn't possibly forget, how integral the process of gumbo was all throughout my life.
Right.
And it actually laid the foundation for me recognizing and understanding that no matter what happened, as far as my family was concerned, I would always be an integral part of that process.
I have to tell you, one of my favorite parts of the beginning of the book mm-hmm. was when you were trying to care for your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And please forgive me, I can't remember if she had already passed then or not, but mm-hmm. you were trying to make the gumbo.
Yeah.
And it didn't taste right.
Oh, exactly.
And you went and threw yourself on your bed and you cried.
Oh, yeah.
And fell asleep.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
you woke up, the gumbo was perfect.
Yes. Right. And so that really, mom had passed. So it was my first Christmas without her.
That's right.
And my opportunity to make gumbo on my own. My entire life, I'd never made gumbo by myself.
Without her help.
Yeah. It was always done in community, which is caregiving, right? You can do it by yourself, but doing it in community makes all the difference in the richness of the experience of preparing and the amazing outcome that happens, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So I was really blessed to be able to, after she had passed, without a recipe, because I never thought that I needed a recipe.
Right.
Never dawned on me. She had been sick for 15
years. It's
just
woven in the fabric of your life.
Exactly.
You thought you might know it, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was different without mom.
Very different without her.
But you made a comment about not knowing who you were without her. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you know, you spend your entire life with your parents, if you're fortunate, right? And until they're gone, you have no idea.
Right.
You have no idea how intertwined the two of you are or the three of you are. Right?
Oh,
and so when she was gone, I had to redefine who I was. I had been a caregiver for 15 years.
Right.
I had been a daughter, you know, for 40 years at that point, right?
Well, I have to tell you, that really resonated with me. And what you wrote was realizing you were no longer sure who you were without your mom's guidance. I know what that feels like. Some of you do in Caregiver Nation. We'll be right back. Hey, friends. I'm excited to tell you about Pine Grove Crossing Assisted Living and Memory Care in Parker, Colorado. They set the bar high for person-centered care. They're locally owned, and they focus on exceeding their residents' expectations while providing excellent dining, housekeeping, and transportation services. Their care team with licensed nurses are available 16 hours per day, 7 days a week, to ensure clinical needs are addressed as soon as possible. Check them out at pinegrovecrossing.com or 303-996-8000 and see how care goes into everything they do.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, everybody, I'm back, and I'm excited today because I just read a fabulous book called Tears in My Gumbo. And so I asked Nadine Cornish, would you come on and talk to my listeners and tell us about your book and why you wrote the book and et cetera. It was really intertwined with your family, Nadine, right?
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, caregiving began when I was probably a little girl, 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
My grandmother would take me to the country where we would take care of loved ones who weren't well.
Right.
And I just watched her do this. And so it just became the thing that we did. We took care of each other.
You know, one of the reasons I was so moved when I met you, my dear friend Rosalind Reese and her husband Ernest, introduced me to you.
Yes.
And Roz knew that we had sort of similar backgrounds. My mom lived with a type of dementia that mimicked Alzheimer's, but was actually hippocampal sclerosis for many, many years. And she too was a person that took in strays, right? I mean, we had more kids come and live with us and then one that was adopted. And, you know, she was always just that person who took care of everybody. And I could feel your family when we were talking about this. And one of the things that I thought was really funny was you said that you had to move forward with the confidence of a highly insecure person.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, how raw is that?
Mm.
How great was that for you to just say that out loud, right?
Oh, gosh. It was my truth, right?
Yeah.
And particularly throughout my caregiving journey and to my mom, and then as I became a professional caregiver consultant and coach, really just being raw and authentic is what my clients appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So one of the things that was funny to me was you said that your mom liked your husband Kevin's care almost more than she liked yours.
Oh, my goodness.
And you didn't know how to handle that.
Oh, actually, you know, I think I'd come to grips with it by that point. when she told me, of all of the caregivers, you're the worst, right?
Oh,
and
ouch.
So, yeah. But right? What I understood was she didn't want me to be her caregiver in that moment.
She wanted
me to be her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we forget that. We forget our relationship because we're so intent on taking care of that person and making sure the meds have been given on time, that, okay, you can't eat that. You've had enough of that. Or it's not time to do this, that, or the other. Right.
We're managing as opposed
to
loving. So I want to intertwine some of the services of your company.
Yes.
Which is?
So the Caregiver's Guardian.
The Caregiver's Guardian.
Yes.
And so Kelly and Melly, let's talk about the twin sisters.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful story.
Yes.
I think they were chapter 2 or 3.
It's about chapter 3. Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
We talk about they were twin sisters who took care of each other.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it got to the point where was it Melly that needed the care and Kelly wanted to take care of her?
Yeah, exactly. Got it.
And she was 89.
Yes.
And so this was difficult for her. And Melly's kids wanted to come in from the outside and take care of her. And that wasn't okay with her. She said, hey, I may be old, but I'm wise.
Absolutely.
And I'm capable. And
absolutely.
I'm able.
Absolutely.
And I'm getting this done, right? And don't tell me I can't. So you helped her with a guardianship,
yes.
Which is not easy to navigate.
Not at all.
Okay.
Yes. But that was the one thing that they had to do was establish guardianship. The good thing was that all of their paperwork was in order. 10 years earlier, they had designated each other as their legal power of attorney and indicated that should guardianship or conservatorship be needed,
right,
the other would be that person, right?
Right.
But we did have to go through the court process, and the judge appointed Kelly guardianship of her sister.
Well done, sister. I got to tell you, I loved that you helped her do that. I mean, that was really good. I mean, just because somebody's younger and they are the children of that person doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the person person that is best able to care for them.
So affairs in order, right?
Yeah.
So that's why you make sure you indicate. So in this instance, Melly knew that her daughter, who would be interested in caring for her, really was not the best person to take care of her.
Well, that's right.
Yes.
And sometimes that leads me to something you talked about, duty and love in your book, the care factors for success.
Absolutely.
Loved it. Loved
yes,
it. Way
yes.
to hit on something powerful.
Yes. So, you know, in this society, I think that we need to become a kinder and a gentler people.
Oh, yeah.
I think we used
Absolutely.
To be once upon a time.
Right.
But that idea that we are responsible for each other and that we are going to take care of each other is just a principle of humanity that
right.
I think we all need to embrace.
Oh, I could not agree more. So let's get into the great love story. Great
yes.
love and great loss. You've given them names,
Tifa yes.
and Will, that wasn't really their names. But the work you did with them hit so many levels, so
yes.
many facets of your work.
Mm-hmm.
So try to now do the same principle, intertwine your work with how you help them. It was
okay.
beautiful. Loved it.
So they actually were my first care management case.
Okay.
Their adult children lived out of state.
Okay.
And they were very concerned about their parents because the parents were adamant about staying in their home.
Right.
But they needed someone to basically manage their care.
Right.
And I wasn't sure, because I was relatively new with my business at that point, I wasn't sure if I wanted to take it on,
right.
but I met Will and instantly fell in love with him.
And your worry became he's going to become a caregiver statistic of a person that dies before his person that he loves with
exactly.
Alzheimer's. That really touched me because I see that all the time.
I do too. Yeah. And I tell you,
nice.
It's something that propels me every day.
Right.
The realization that self-care and making sure that as a caregiver, you're taking care of yourself. And in this instance, Will was really focused on his wife, neglected himself in many ways, and he passed away and she lived 2 years beyond him.
Well, then you had to deal with the kids' wishes versus Tipa's wishes.
Yes.
And in her impaired state, that what could not have been easy for you.
It was right? really a challenge, but again, they had made decisions and put things in order. Their affairs were in
right.
order. And so even though the kids were really conflicted about whether or not their mom should stay in the home,
uh-huh.
which is the one thing she was
really
adamant
wanted.
About every
yeah.
single day,
right.
This was what they had prepared for. Mm-hmm. And so we managed to provide care for her in the home 24/7 for the 2 years that she lived after her husband.
Okay. And, you know, I picked out a couple of quotes that you had, and one that really I work with a lot, too, is nothing in marriage vows says in sickness and in health without any help.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
In this instance, Will was just really adamant about doing everything himself
right.
because this was his responsibility as a husband, as the head of his household.
But in the end, he let you come in and help.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
And it became multifaceted, and you ended up having to bring those people together and try to work with that strange dichotomy of the parent wishes and the kids' wishes, because they don't always talk about them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you have this generation that of parents who never share their business and
exactly.
you know certain
about my
topics. Exactly. They
uh-uh.
don't share that. Exactly.
Right.
So I came in as a neutral party
yeah.
to simply assist them in that process.
Awesome. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, we're back, and I've got Nadine Cornish with me. This has been a wonderful conversation.
It has been fun. Thank you.
I told you when you came in, I felt like we were sisters or something. I'm a little behind you. You've had your company for 9 years.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's get into that for a minute. Talk about your company, what you provide. So what services you provide?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Caregiver's Guardian supports family caregivers. We meet them where they are on the journey. We help them put a plan of care into place. We help them identify resources. We deal with family dynamics. You know, we try to get everybody on the same page and get everybody to indicate what it is that they're going to bring to the process.
Right.
Yes. And
exactly.
The big part that we're doing now is the educational piece. So I do a lot of speaking around the country. I work with churches to create a plan of care and a culture, and to create a culture of care within the church by conducting church symposiums for caregivers.
Okay. So talk a little bit more about the organizations. Does that come into your Carosity campaign?
So the Carosity campaign was launched when the book was launched, so that we really, the Carosity is all about getting back to caring.
Right.
And getting churches and organizations and businesses to recognize the fact that we're all impacted by caregiving sooner or later. Let's get on board. Let's get ready, because we're going to have to support a lot of caregivers.
Oh, amen, girl. I'm
And we're all going to be caregivers.
Well, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. So can they get this book on audio?
They can get the book on audio.
Nice.
Yes. Yes.
And how else can they get it from you?
So they can order the book directly from my website at tearsinmygumbo.com.
Okay.
Or tcgcares.com.
Right.
And it's also available on Amazon.
You want to give them your phone number real fast, and then we'll do it one more time at the end of the show?
Absolutely. I can be reached at 303-394-1963.
Awesome. Okay. Let's get back to the book for a minute. So you had to bring in a caregiver, and you had actually brought in several and they weren't working out. And then enter
yes.
Katrina.
Yes. So after going through caregiver hell with finding that right mix and that right fit, Katrina comes.
A Russian girl.
A Russian girl with a heavy accent. And I tell you, I was so jaded at that point. I was just ignoring the fact that this was the perfect person. This was the angel that I had been waiting for.
Yeah.
And Katrina shows up and I can barely understand her. And I'm already ready to dismiss her. Right?
Right.
But here's the thing. Katrina was a medical doctor.
Right.
She was a medical doctor from Russia.
But couldn't practice here.
Couldn't practice here. So
you got a dose of some medicine.
Oh, yeah.
In a form you didn't want from the caregiver's boss.
Exactly.
Said, look,
exactly.
If you don't like this girl,
exactly.
She's
then I can't
best
help
we've
you.
Got.
Yeah. Exactly.
Move
exactly.
along, honey. And you said, well, I better reevaluate.
Exactly. And I did. And it was the best possible thing.
Very insightful of you. Mm. I really have to say. I thought I laughed harder, I think, at that part of the book. Almost than any other part, but I thought that was really fun for you to share what it was like for you to bring a caregiver into the home who couldn't do it the way you do it, but she did it pretty doggone well.
She did it great.
And you finally just had to back up and say, I'm going to let her do it, right?
Yeah, letting go. That's a hard thing for caregivers to do, especially
letting
the primary
go.
Caregiver.
Yeah.
Let go. Let somebody else do it and let them do it their way. It's okay.
Oh, and talk about pure honesty and leaving yourself open. Your grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
Hurricane Lizzie.
Yes.
I grew to love her.
Yes.
Because she was the boss. She was mama. She was, don't mess with me. Don't tell me anything.
You can't
tell me anything. Right. But she needed your help.
Yes.
And you had to find some way to bring what you were trying to bring to the table and get her to accept it, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly.
And you found some common ground, finally.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally.
So Hurricane Lizzie really taught me how to recognize that this is her journey.
Yeah.
I'm along for the ride.
Right.
And so my job is to support her. And as long as she's safe,
yeah.
as long as she is not causing harm to herself or
right.
to anyone else,
right.
then if she doesn't want to take a shower today, then you know what?
She didn't take
it's got to be okay. She's not taking a
That's
shower.
That's exactly right.
If she doesn't want to eat today.
Right.
Right.
Well, even, I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. She said to one of your cousins that she had a revolver.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
your cousin thought she was hallucinating or
mm-hmm.
delusional
Absolutely.
Or
yeah,
something. And
exactly.
then as, after she passed, you're cleaning out a room.
Exactly.
And you find a loaded
exactly.
revolver.
Yes. Exactly.
I would not
right.
mess with your grandmother.
No.
Wow. She was something else.
She
but
really was.
I could feel your angst in trying to care for her. I got that. It came through loud and clear. But what came through even louder was how much you loved your mom and how much you loved Mama,
mm-hmm.
Grandma Lizzie.
Oh, yeah.
Hurricane Lizzie.
Yeah.
Elizabeth. Hey, I don't want to forget. You talk about something called Anamkara.
Anamkara. Okay. Yeah. Anamkara is a Celtic term.
Yeah.
And it means, loosely translated, it means care of the soul
yeah.
or soul friend.
Love it.
And I believe that caregivers have an honor, actually, of providing care.
Right.
That you are especially chosen to do the job that you're doing.
Right.
And as a caregiver, you are carer of the soul.
Yeah.
And you get to companion that person at their most vulnerable time of life.
Right.
And if you're fortunate enough to be there when they transition, you have been the person to support them and
right.
assist them in that process.
Right.
And it's a blessing.
Oh, it's a serious blessing. And I have to tell you, you know, our businesses are similar.
Yes.
Okay, I provide mm-hmm. education. Mm-hmm. I work with the University of Colorado Hospital, teaching their caregivers. I work with communities and families and trying to put it all together. And you do, too. And, man, that touched my heart, Nadine. It touched my heart, girl.
Yes.
I love that. I was starting to think I was alone. And then I found out you came before me. You're like 6 years ahead of me, right?
Yeah.
And I said to you earlier that I felt like the metaphor to this was that you peeled back an onion and I peeled back maybe 5 or 6 layers, but you're kind of there, you know? And I love that. I want to be you when I grow up. But what we're both trying to do is help caregivers find joy.
Yes.
And get people more to person-centered care.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there is more than enough room for both of us and more.
Thousands
there are
gonna
so
be needed.
Many people. but, yeah, I'd like to do what you're doing someday, you know, going out and doing lectures across the country. I haven't done that. I mm-hmm. do lectures in the city here. And like I said, I feel like your little sister or something. But
well, the book has certainly been the catalyst for that.
Yeah,
and
right.
Most recently, the book has been it's now being used as part of nursing school, nursing program curriculums
Rock
around
on
the country.
There, girl.
So I'm
Love
really
it.
Excited about that. And I'm getting to talk at some of these universities. So it's an opportunity to really spread the word wide and far.
And I'm going to keep spreading it for you. I absolutely loved your book. I love having you on the show. I hope we're friends for a long time. We can look back and laugh about the day that our dear friend Rosalind introduced us and
exactly.
said, the two of you have to know each other, right? And I said, I have a radio show. Yeah. Come on and tell everybody what you're doing.
Yeah.
So one more time, the name of your company and how they can get a hold of you.
The name of my company is The Caregiver's Guardian. I can be reached at area code 303-394-1963. My website is tcgcares.com.
Awesome. Well, I am so glad you all got to meet Nadine this morning, and I'll be back with more interesting information and resources for you next week. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.